Edwards.
Hmm?
You coming?
No, I'm not.
What do you mean you're not?
I'm not coming.
I'm going to the freezer shop.
Sorry?
Well, you said you were going to come and help me.
I've got some urgent work to do.
Work? It's Saturday morning.
I know, but there's been a large insurance claim, and I have to work out the details before Monday. It's very complicated.
Then why aren't you at the office dealing with it?
What's the matter?
We don't seem to do anything together anymore.
Please try and understand.
Understand? It's always me that has to try and understand.
Well, why not ask that lazy son of yours? Where is he? Why can't he help you?
Because you said you were coming. It was all arranged.
Well, now I'm not. So ask that bloody lazy son of mine to get off his backside and work up a sweat.
Hello.
And...
talking about me again, I see.
Yes. Help your mother with the shopping so I can get some peace.
I thought you were going.
Well, I'm not going now. I have work to do. To pay the mortgage, the bank loan on the car, and the holiday we're all, I repeat, all taking at the end of the month.
There's no need to take it out on Jack.
19, and he hasn't done a decent day's work in his life.
Because he's studying.
Drama? My God. Why doesn't he study for something useful?
Oh, it's easy to sneer at someone because they want to do something different from a pen pusher like you.
Pen pusher? Is that all you think of me, a pen pusher? Well, let me tell you something, Francis. I've managed to put a roof over your head and decent clothes on your back for the last 25 years. Pen pusher I may be, but at least I can walk down this road with some respect. Bloody pen pusher. God, you bitch.
I didn't mean that.
He knows you didn't.
It's not just about coming out shopping.
I know.
Yeah, well, will you come with me and give me a hand instead?
Of course. I'll just go up and change.
Mum?
Yeah?
Everything between you and Dad is, well, all right, isn't it? In spite of everything.
You wouldn't think so just now, would you?
Everyone has arguments. Especially married people.
And especially when they've been married for 25 years.
Is that it, then?
No. The relationship changes. Maybe you take each other for granted. You get on each other's nerves. I don't even know whether you expect more from each other or less. I suppose 25 years is a peculiar time for a marriage. It's when being taken for granted begins to establish itself. When big rows materialise over little things. It's when the children are grown up and all that's left...
is dead.
Oh, I didn't mean it to sound like that. No, you suddenly find that you've come full circle. You're on your own again. The two of you. As it was when you started. And instead of fighting and working hard for something, you have to be content with what you've got. What you've achieved.
And Dad hasn't achieved very much.
Is that what you think?
Well, it doesn't matter what I think. It's what you think, isn't it? Do you think he's a bit of a failure?
No. Oh, no, I don't. I just think...
yes?
Well, I shouldn't be saying this. Maybe I'm being unfair, but... I think he's become rather... boring. And I expect I seem the same to him... I'm dreading the day he retires.
Maybe he'll change.
Maybe he'll become more boring, like our next-door neighbours. Since he's retired, they do nothing but quarrel. Haven't you heard them through the walls?
Quite often, yes. Their bedroom is next to mine, remember?
Oh, and you know what I mean.
Maybe I'm the problem.
What do you mean?
Well, the fact that I'm at drama school, not earning. Maybe the pressure...
Don't be silly. The thought of having an actor in the family is the only bit of excitement I can look forward to.
An out-of-work actor in the family?
Now don't be silly, Jack. You're like me. You've got your mother's drive and initiative.
OK. I'll become a star just for you.
To be...
or not to be,
that is the question.
That's all you ever do is sneer.
That's not Mum and Dad, surely.
Did you love
to suffer the slings and arrows of outrage.
God knows you want me to do.
Oh, God, they're at it next door now.
I too, you know, I haven't had a cook.
I don't know what you're all about. I'll help around the house.
Listen to them. What's the point of getting married if it ends up like that?
No, I'll get round to it.
Doesn't have to end up like that, though, does it? Surely not. I can't believe that all marriages have to end up like that.
Good night, Jack.
Night, Mum.
They're at it again.
And how?
Your father's asleep.
Yes, I heard him come up.
Good night, dear.
Night, Mum. I'll never get married.
I said shut it!
My God, he can't have... Perhaps if I put my ear to the wall... Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Ah, there you are, Jack. Toast getting cold.
Is Dad gone?
Yes, it's 8:30. Let's hope the train's on time. He's not in a very good mood this morning. Why?
I wanted to talk to him.
What about?
Next door.
What do you mean?
Well, they were rowing hammer and tongs last night. Well, you heard them.
As I went to bed, yes.
I heard Mrs. Watson scream.
Yeah, screaming at Morris.
No, it wasn't. Well, let me put it this way. I thought it was at the time, but I don't think it was.
I'm sorry, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Last night, the Watsons were having one God Almighty row.
Yeah.
They were calling each other names.
Well, that's normal.
Then Mrs. Watson screamed and there was a silence.
To the relief of the neighbours, yes.
Now, Mum, I don't want you to laugh or put it down to my sense of theatre, but this morning when I was dressing, I just happened to look outside to see what the weather was doing.
It was raining.
That's right. And I saw Mr. Watson digging in the garden.
Mr. Watson never digs in the garden.
Precisely.
Whereabouts?
Close to the house, near our fence.
Well, why would he dig there? He hates gardening.
Well, even if he loved gardening, have you ever seen the most avid gardener digging in the rain?
Jack, what are you trying to say?
What do you think I'm trying to say?
It's ridiculous.
It all adds up, Mum.
Jack, I won't believe it.
I heard her scream. I think something awful's happened next door.
Well, what do you think we ought to do?
Martha, for heaven's sake, what do you think we ought to do?
You mean the police?
Well, who else would you go and see?
Well, without your father's say-so.
But he's not here, is he?
Well, supposing it was nothing. Supposing it was all your imagination.
Then no harm's done.
We'd make ourselves look foolish.
I heard them rowing, Mum. I heard her scream. Then there was nothing. Now, this morning, he's out there burying her.
You don't know that. Now, Jack, you don't know that.
No. But it looks pretty suspicious to me.
Look, can't we wait and I'll phone your father at the office?
By then it might be too late. He might have gone off somewhere, abroad.
In an hour?
Well, maybe he was planning it all along. Maybe it wasn't a crime committed on the spur of the moment. Maybe he already has his plane ticket for South America.
Jack, this is madness. You're over-dramatising everything like you always do.
Then I'll go and see the police.
Well, don't blame me if your father's furious.
I've never been so embarrassed in all my life.
He's apologised, Edward. Let's forget it.
Apology? And you think that's enough?
I can't think what else I can say.
Oh, you can't, eh? Well, I can, Jack. You can go and apologise to the Watsons next door for a start. And then the police.
But, Dad...
You're a menace, Jack. Do you know that? You're one great bloody disaster area. And what are the neighbours going to think? And you're just as bad, Francis.
Oh, it's my fault. It had to be my fault.
To be taken in by his theatrical imagination. Yes, his macabre imagination. Murder, indeed. Bodies buried in the garden. I mean, Francis, I did credit you with a bit more common sense.
If it had been true, I suppose I would have been accused of being inept.
But it wasn't true, was it? Instead, the whole thing is a bloody great embarrassment. In the local paper, no doubt. Pictures of the so-called murdered wife laughing her bloody head off.
She screamed.
Because she fell. She's in bed now with a broken ankle. And, in a fit of remorse, Morris is at last doing something about the garden.
In the rain?
To make amends, yes.
Maybe you could take a leaf out of his book.
Listen, you. You're a bloody lazy good-for-nothing. Thank God, we're going on holiday to get away from all this embarrassment. And when we come back, you're going to leave that drama school and you're going to look for a job.
You can't get a job today. We're in a depression.
And you're the cause of it. You're going out looking for a decent job, a real job. You're going to give up all this pretense of being a bloody actor.
Pretense? I convinced Mother.
This isn't funny, Jack.
Are you siding with him?
I'm not taking any sides, but I do agree with your father that it's made us the laughingstock of the street and ruined whatever relationship we had with them next door.
We never had a relationship with them next door. You've never been in there and they've never been in here. They're strangers, like everyone around here. They're strangers, like us.
Just our bloody luck.
What's that, dear?
Fog.
There's something wonderful and mysterious about fog at sea.
Oh, you're a romantic. That's the trouble with you.
Well, nothing wrong with that, surely.
Oh, I hope it clears soon. This is one of the busiest parts of the channel.
That's right, Edward. Get me all tensed up.
For God's sake, Francis, shut up.
You're such an unfeeling man. No wonder Jack doesn't like you.
Well, after his recent escapade with the police and our imaginary murderous next-door neighbours, I couldn't give a fig what he thinks of me.
I'm determined not to be drawn, Edward. I'm going to enjoy my holiday, even if you're not.
That is, if we ever get to see France through this mist.
I'm a romantic, and you're a pessimist. I've come to the conclusion, Edward, that I don't think you like anyone enjoying themselves.
I do if they allow me to enjoy myself.
And we all know what that means, letting you have your own way.
You're childish too at times, you really are.
I'm going down to the restaurant. I'd like a coffee. Coming?
In a minute.
It's cold up here, don't be long.
My God, Francis. If I had the nerve, I'd push you right over the side now and watch you go under. No, Edward, no, you don't mean that. Yes, I do. Yes. Sometimes I could. I could quite easily. Mind you, I suppose she could do that to me sometimes.
Dad?
Oh, Jack, it's you.
I was wondering where you'd got to.
Well, as you can see, I'm here.
Where's Mum?
She's gone to get a coffee. That's where I shall go now.
Look, while we're on holiday, isn't there a chance of forgetting about, well, you know?
Not easily, Jack, no. But in the cause of peace, I shall try.
Thanks.
And then, when we get back home, we'll return to normal, eh?
Oh, come on, Dad. What if it had been true? What if it had been true and I'd done absolutely nothing? Wouldn't we have looked equally foolish?
I'll see you downstairs in the restaurant. Don't let's talk about it, Jack. We're on holiday.
My God. Sometimes I think, sometimes I could push that arrogant little man into the sea and just... Oh, no, Jack, you mustn't talk like that. You don't mean it. He's your father, after all. Mother's weak, of course. She gives in to him. Gives in to his boorish ways. She can be a pain in the neck too if it comes to... Oh, stop it, Jack.
It's called early morning fog.
What?
Oh, did I startle you?
Yes, I didn't hear you come up behind me.
Sorry. I said it was early morning fog. It's going to turn out a nice day later on. You mark my words. I saw you looking into the water. You seen my wife?
Your wife? No, I haven't seen anyone. I think I'm the only one on deck.
It's just that I saw you leaning over the side, so I thought you might have seen my wife.
No, I haven't.
Good. I expect she sunk, then. I was afraid she might have bobbed up like a balloon. Now, let's see. No, you're right. Not a sign of anyone. Mind you, I didn't think she'd bob up and down, but you never know with a strong-minded woman like Annabel.
Annabel?
My wife. I couldn't stand her any longer. So I brought her on this boat trip and pushed her overboard. I felt a bit sick afterwards, so I rested in the cabin. And suddenly I was afraid in case she might bob up again. Phew. Let me tell you something, young man. Never get married. Oh, I'm so sorry. You're not even...
No, I'm only 19.
Well, caught you just in time, then. Are you on this boat by yourself?
No, I'm with my parents.
Oh, no girlfriend?
No. Well, not at the moment.
Don't blame you. Women are unnatural, aren't they? Well, their minds don't work. That's the trouble. They just have feelings. Do you know, before she came on board, Annabel said to me, "You're going to try to get rid of me. I feel it in my bones." Well, I ask you, how could she know? Unnatural. Anyway, I did more than try. I did get rid of her. Oh, she was fat, Annabel. She was enormous. That's why she sank. Do you know why wives are fat and girlfriends mostly slim?
No. Why?
Because wives relax. They've got their man, they're secure for life, they have an income without work. Take Annabel, for instance. Beautiful girl when she was young. Loved her. Oh, yes. Oh, I really loved her. She was affectionate. Aimed to please. But once she had that ring on her finger and a house to sit in, she just... Well, she just sat. Sat, ate chocolates, read cheap novels and watched television. And when she wasn't doing any of those things, she twittered on and on and on.
Look, I hope you don't mind me saying this.
What?
Well, you are pulling my leg, aren't you?
What about? Annabel twittering?
No, I meant about you pushing her overboard.
Hear that?
Yes.
Well, that's just how Annabel used to sound. That's right, just like a seagull. There's this great big body, and out comes a voice like...
Pardon?
It's her. My God, it's Annabel.
Gregory, there you are.
Annabel, you're dead.
So are you.
What?
I poisoned your coffee before you drowned me. You're lying dead in our cabin at this moment. Only you're so insensitive you don't realise it. And who's this young man? What's your name?
Jack.
Then you can see me, Jack.
Well, of course I can see you.
You must be psychic. Gregory, we must wander around the ship and find out who can see us and who can't. That way we can separate the clodhoppers from the sensitives.
But how the hell did you get out of the water?
I didn't. That is, my body didn't. But I'm here. You really are dead, Gregory. Otherwise you wouldn't be able to see me, you being one of the clodhoppers. If you don't believe me, go along to your cabin and see yourself.
I did lie down in the cabin for a while, feeling a bit sick. Well, then I pulled myself together and came up here.
You pulled yourself together, dead, and came out of your body, just as I did. Go along and look if you don't believe me.
Excuse me a minute, Jack.
Poor old Gregory. You see, Jack, I had a feeling he was planning to kill me. Felt it in my bones. But I went on being sensitive, like you. You're sensitive, aren't you, Jack? Anyway, I decided that if he could be so selfish and unfriendly as to kill me, I'd do the same to him, tit for tat. Now he's lost his own life and still hasn't got rid of me. We'll be bound together for all eternity. The couple who did each other in. What closer bond could you get? But I'll try to be nicer to him now. Bygones and all that. Now, Jack, what do you think of all this?
Well, I think that the rocking of the boat and probably a lot of duty-free booze has made you and your husband have delusions. A sort of shared DTs.
DTs?
Yes, it means delirium tremens. Alcoholics have it. They see things that aren't there, like... green and pink elephants and whatnot. Now, you may have wanted to murder each other, but you obviously didn't, otherwise you wouldn't be here. That's what I think.
Oh, you poor dear little soul. Here you are, psychic as they come, communing with a couple of ghosts, and you don't even realise it. I expect a lot of people you've talked to during your life have been ghosts, and you simply haven't known it. Oh, well. You know what I shall enjoy most about being a ghost?
Know what?
The sheer convenience of it all. I can visit other people's homes without them knowing, travel the world without it costing a penny. The sheer freedom of it all appeals enormously to me. Ah, here's Gregory.
The cabin's empty.
That means you must have been found while you were up here talking to this young man and put wherever they put dead bodies on a ship.
And where would that be? Do you know Jack?
No, sorry, haven't got a clue.
I tell you what, Gregory, we'll have an invisible walk about the ship and see if we can find you. Oh. What do you say, Jack? Want to come with us?
Look, I suggest you both go to the restaurant, sit down and order yourself some strong black coffee.
You don't believe any of this, do you? He doesn't believe we're ghosts, Gregory. He thinks we're suffering from DTs.
What?
He thinks we're hallucinating.
I think you've had a jolly good fight. Rather like my parents do. But you've also got yourselves totally drunk, and perhaps you feel seasick as well. That's why you're here. You're probably feeling absolutely dreadful.
Well, speaking for myself, I never felt better in my life.
Well, then I think you should make it up. You can't go on quarrelling forever.
The child's right, Gregory.
But I can't stand her.
Oh, come on, Gregory. We're going to be together forever now, you know. So it's to our advantage to be friends. Look, let me start by saying I apologise for poisoning you.
There. You see, it's easy.
Oh, all right. I apologise, Annabelle, for drowning you. Actually, I was a bit sorry afterwards.
Now shake hands. That's right. Now go back to your cabin and sleep it off. Look, the fog's clearing.
He still doesn't believe us.
Ooh, the sea's getting a bit of a swell on it.
The rest of the crossing's going to be rough. I feel it in my bones.
Yes, well, I think I'll go downstairs too. I'm beginning to feel a bit...
sick.
Yes, that's right. Just a bit. Excuse me.
There you are, Jack. You look pale. You all right?
It's got rather rough, hasn't it?
I'll be all right.
You'll get used to the motion.
Have a sip of water, dear. There's a biscuit there if you want one.
No, thanks, Mum.
Just try to relax. It's the tension that does it.
Who are you waving to, Jack?
Well, just a couple I met on deck earlier on. I don't know their surname.
What couple do you mean, dear?
Over there by the door.
I think I'll have another drink. Same for you, Francis.
Your father's in a generous mood. I think we're going to have a good holiday, Jack. I don't know what's brought it on.
Probably what I heard the barman telling someone. One of the passengers has just died of food poisoning, and his wife's missing too. They fear she may have fallen overboard.
What? Dad, are you sure?
Well, I got to thinking that life's rather short and unpredictable when you come to think about it. And when I heard this poor couple, probably like us, just starting on the holiday. Well, I suppose our lives have been getting into a rut.
Will you tell me something, please?
What's the matter?
Can you see them?
Who, dear?
The man with the moustache and the rather fat lady in the blue dress. The table to the left of the main door.
You feel all right, Jack?
Can you see them?
The table's empty, dear.
Are you sure?
Of course.
What's the matter with you?
It's like she said. I'm psychic.
Seasick, more like it. Go on, Jack, my boy. Let's go up on deck. We must be approaching the French coast. Some fresh air will do us all good. Take a deep breath, Jack. That'll make you feel better.
Slowly, Jack. As deep as you can.
You'll feel better in no time.
Look, the sun's really out now.
It's going to be warm.
So looking forward to this holiday, Edward.
Me too.
Good God.
What's that, Jack?
Nothing. Nothing.
Look, dear. There's something... Someone... No, it can't be.
You see them too? Holding hands and... Walking on the water.
Yes, yes.
Bloody hell. Oh, it's probably a trick of the sunlight. Mustn't get like Jack and his dramatic ways, eh?
Jack, can you see them?
A
man and a rather big lady walking ahead of the boat on the water.
Yes, it's a trick of the light. It must be.
No. No, I can't see anything.
Maybe it's a good omen, eh, Edward?
If you're going to be nice, then be nice.
I am being nice.
Well, that remark you made just now.
What remark?
You can't remember that I'm not going to remind you.
And one other thing. I don't want any more references to my being fat.
Fat? You're not fat.
Fat.
You're huge!
That was Channel Crossing by Rosemary Timperley, with Nicholas Lyndhurst as Jack, Peter Salis as Edward, and Patsy Rowlands as Francis. Gregory and Annabelle were played by Gregory de Poulnay and Sonia Fraser. Other parts were members of the cast. It was a BBC World Service drama production, directed by Derek Hoddenos.